the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife and children and all of his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave the whole loan. But when that servant left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, the fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed. And they went to their master, and they reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant, as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So it will be with my heavenly Father and you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee, and he went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the basic message is clear. I think that the difficulty comes in terms of sometimes understanding what it means to forgive. So let's see if we can put a few pieces together here this morning. Now, Peter comes up and says, thinking he's being so generous. Shouldn't I forgive my brother even as many as seven? See, look at me, Lord, I'm learning to forgive my brother seven times. And of course, as Peter, he says, Peter, 77 times. In other words, now one might say, oh, then 490 times, that's a lot, but the point isn't a number. The point is just forgive. Now, and of course there is this remarkable story that he goes on to tell. Now, the basic contours of the story are clear enough. There's a man who owes a huge amount, he's forgiven, and then a guy who and by the way, the huge amount, it's an unpayable debt. I mean, I think the Greek is more, it says 10,000 talents. Basically, if you do some inflation-adjusted dollars and all that kind of stuff, you're talking about the national debt. I mean, like over $10 trillion or something, some huge unpayable amount. So the point is, he owes an infinite debt. It's not going to work a little overtime and pay it off, all right? This is a huge debt. And so what you've got here is a guy that owes a debt he can never pay. And that's the important thing for us to realize. Don't you see that that's us and God? We have offended God. Well, just to simply say no to the creator of the universe, to boldly turn and say, no, I won't do it, is to incur an infinite debt. I mean, we're just way out of line. You can't just say, well, So the point is that we have this infinite debt. That's the key to get there. Now, he begs the master, and he forgives the entire debt. Imagine owing $10 trillion and being forgiven the entire debt. That's a kind of a nice day, isn't it? It's one of life's little pleasures, All right. So here's a guy that just has this huge burden lifted off him, and then he finds some guy that owes him $500. And has him thrown into prison. Now you might say, well, how can a guy pay a debt from prison? Well, the answer is, your family had to come to your rescue, come up with the money. So the idea here is that, I think the basic contours of this story is, man, this guy was showing all this mercy, and there's a guy who's committed a far less offense, and he's not even willing to forgive him a minute, not even a dime. And so you've got this story. well, don't you see that whatever offenses we commit against each other are tiny compared to the offense we commit against God, and yet God forgives us, and so on. But I think the deeper contour of the story is that what happens to this guy that he has no sense of the debt and what he's really been forgiven. He didn't really experience the forgiveness, because had he experienced the forgiveness, his heart would have been moved and he would have been able to forgive his brother a much smaller debt. And that's us, isn't it? I wonder if our minds are really able to comprehend how much we've really been forgiven. See, unfortunately, we have this, especially in the current time in which we live, this "I'm basically a good person" kind of thinking that is, predominates, I might do a few things here and there, but I'm basically a good person. And we're not really in touch with just how hard we are to live with and how deep our sin, really is. I mean, really deep drives of resentment, of willfulness, stubbornness, don't like being told what to do. As I tried to preach on Sunday, we're all kind of a hard case to God. We're pretty stubborn, stiff-necked people. And I don't think we're really often in touch with how sinful we really are. Because we live in a culture that sort of says, look, basically we're all in good shape. Well, if we're all in such good shape, go buy a newspaper and explain all that to me. Crime, the corruption, the bitterness, the killings. Where does all that come from? It comes from really messed up hearts. We're in bad shape. And this "I'm basically a good person," kind of thing is... Well, apparently we don't really know how holy God is when we talk like that. But if we can ever get in touch or even have a small experience of being forgiven by God, this really equips us, to forgive other people. As some of you may have seen that movie Fireproof, and there comes a moment in the movie where he has kind of a breakthrough. He thinks he's basically a good person. "Look at me, I'm a firefighter, I rescue people, I don't lie or cheat or steal, I pay my taxes, I'm basically a good person." And his father has to sort of say to him, "You're not going to get saved, or you're not going to earn God's love by paying your taxes and pulling people out of burning buildings. That isn't how it works." And he goes on to try to show his son how really ungrateful he is to God, how bitter, how stubborn, how stiff-necked. There's a lot of background you don't know if you haven't seen the movie, but see this movie if you haven't. And his son finally comes to realize, that he spent most of his life either shaking his fist at God or just being plain ungrateful. And dabbling in sins, certain sins. But he suddenly and powerfully experiences that God loves him anyway. Whoa, And suddenly there comes upon him this sort of rush of experiencing God's mercy for him, and that he really is a sinner who needs that mercy, and it's a breakthrough for him. And suddenly he's able to start loving his wife and forgive her. See? And until he experiences that, he's just going through the motions, trying to save his marriage, but he doesn't really love his wife. He doesn't really want to forgive her. He's still keeping a book on her and all the stuff she's done and hasn't done and all that stuff. And until he has this breakthrough where he really experiences how powerfully he's been forgiven by God and loved in spite of everything he's done, he's not really equipped to save his marriage or to forgive his wife. But then, finally, that happens, and he is. And the whole story begins to change. And I want to just say that that's our situation, you see. And too many people have never really forgiven. And so we ask questions like, how often do I have to forgive? I mean, if you've really experienced forgiveness, you don't ask that question. You just don't. It doesn't occur to you to even ask it. Peter... You don't ask, "Do I have to forgive as many as seven?" thinking you're being generous. Peter, 490, whatever, 495,000. In other words, just keep forgiving. See? And then, of course, a lot of questions occur to us you know, what does it mean to forgive, or how can I forgive in this or that situation? I know there's a lot of technical questions that come up, but don't miss this main point, which is that a lot of those technical questions start to go away when you've really experienced the power of God's mercy in your life. I'm not saying they completely disappear. There are some prudential questions. Now, let's look at a couple of them. Someone will say, well, Father, son or daughter has an addiction, and they keep coming back and wanting to borrow money and stay in the house, and I've got younger kids or grandchildren who are staying there, and this person is frankly a threat. Are you saying that I just need to say, come on in, no matter what, and you know, and so on? Is that really what's meant, you know, by forgiveness? And and again, a prudential judgment there might include saying, no, you can't stay here. Does that mean you haven't forgiven? See, these are some of the questions I think that arise in people's minds. And I think it's because we have a little bit of a flawed notion of what forgiveness really means. You know, forgiveness means, in a way, letting go of the need to change the past. I'm never going to forget what you did, and, you know, and all of that kind of, you know, machinations that we do. But in the end, forgiveness is a kind of a letting go of all the resentments, the hurts, the bitterness, the I'll get you, I need to repay you for what you've done to me kind of thinking. There may be, though, prudential judgment. But if you do have to say, no, you can't come and stay here, you're not doing that because I've had it with you and I'm never going to trust you again. That's not the motive. The motive is love. You know, no, I love my other children, my grandchildren. I have to protect them. Or no, it's important for you to maybe spend a few nights on a park bench. A couple cold nights on a park bench, maybe to hit bottom so you can start to get help for your addiction and begin to pull yourself together and live responsibly. But you're not doing that out of this, I'll show you, or I'm done with you. You're doing it really out of love now, you see, because you're saying, look, it's not possible for you and me to live in peace. It's just, there are just some things you're going to have to do to get help. See the difference? You're doing the same thing, and namely, you're saying, no, you can't stay here, you can't come and live in my house under these conditions. But instead of doing it out of all the anger and the resentment and the, I don't want to deal with you, go away, and I'm angry, and I've been hurt, and I don't want to be hurt again, and I need to protect myself. Instead of acting out of all those motives, you're acting out of a motive that says, you know, giving you money, or letting you stay here and continue on with a lifestyle that's killing you just isn't going to help you at this point. So, you see the vision? All right. So, we don't have to abandon. Forgiveness doesn't mean abandoning all prudence. Does a wife whose husband beats her have to keep saying, come back, dear? There may be a time for her to say, we can't live in peace. I don't hold this against you. You have an issue. I don't know what it is. I know that I have mine. I've been forgiven, and I praise God. But I just know at this point we can't live together in peace. Now, maybe if you're able to get help and we can begin to rebuild trust, then there's a basis for that. But relationships and true love are rooted in the truth. See? And you see the idea? So I can't work out every single detail that every one of us might have in this chapel about every particular situation. But in the end, if you really experience the power of God's forgiveness, you're going to be able to think about these things in peace and resolve them. Too many people, though, unfortunately, they're like this man. They've never really experienced God's forgiveness. I'm basically a good person. I don't really need the mercy. Yes, you do. You don't know how hard you are to live with. You don't know the depths of your sin. You don't know what you've been forgiven. See? And that's a struggle that many people have today. So, and maybe some of us. So in the end, this story is about a man who was forgiven a huge debt but didn't really understand how much he'd been forgiven, and because of that wasn't equipped to forgive his brother, and a much smaller debt, and in the end ended up in hell because he simply refused to experience his need for mercy and the fact of God's mercy. Amen.